The first song that Sam led was one of my father's very favorites, so I've sung it many times. The reason Scotty picked me is because y'all will appreciate him more and more after tonight. I don't know if you read the bulletin this morning, but I thought it was not too well worded. It says, "Lessons today, overcoming failure, William Brown." So I don't know what he meant by that. So well, it's good to be here tonight and speak to this small but quality crowd. The best is the best is right here tonight. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The serpent tempted Eve, and she sinned and caused Adam to sin. And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Here we have the first glimmer of God's eternal plan. In many places in the New Testament, it's referred to as a mystery, but not as a remaining mystery, but as a revealed mystery. Today we have the privilege of having the whole revealed plan of God at our disposal. Jesus tells us by telling his disciples in Luke 10:24, "Assuredly, I say to you, many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. As a result of man's sin, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And God saw the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of man were only evil continuously. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a token of the covenant which I make between you and me and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." Noah not only walked with God, but according to 2 Peter 2:5, "and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. He was a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly." As we finish Genesis, we find the Israelites in Egypt, and as Exodus begins in chapter 1, they're in the first stages of slavery. Finally, a Savior, Moses, appears on the scene, and according to Romans 5:14, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who is the figure of him that was to come. That figure that was to come many generations later was Christ. As we proceed through the books of the Old Testament, we see God constantly giving his people the choice between a blessing and a curse. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known. The wording may be different in different places, but the meaning and the intent are the same. These continue into the New Testament and apply even to us today. You heard it said that freedom is not free. We know the Old Testament system cannot bring about the forgiveness of sins for which we read in Hebrews 10:4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. We needed a much greater sacrifice. This sacrifice came in the form of Jesus Christ. He can make us free. He has provided the means by which we can be free, but only through obedience to his word. He said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So how does Christ make us free? He has made us free from sin. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. But now, being made free from sin and become righteous to God, you have fruit unto holiness, and in the end, everlasting life. Note, free from sin is not that we no longer sin, but we're free from the eternal consequences of sin if we continue in obedience to his word. Let's look at 667. This is not the invitation song. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Will your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, there is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. He has made us free from death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Since Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. This is not about physical death, but the second death, spiritual death. According to Revelation chapter 2, verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. The second death is in the fires of hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. He has provided us with blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Every spiritual blessing means that there is none outside of being in Christ. You know, we could spend several hours covering scriptures that explains what it means to be in Christ. You know, sometimes preachers will tell a joke, and they say that's to relax the audience and to get their attention. But I really think it's to relax the preacher. So let's try that. So the one preacher every Sunday would preach about the gospel. And so finally the congregation said, could you preach about something else? He said, well, I'll work on it. So the next Sunday then he comes up and he says, you know, there's just all kinds of pills. There's large pills, small pills, yellow ones, red ones, green ones, blue ones. There's pills for your heart. There's pills for blood pressure. But today we're going to talk about the most important pill, the gospel. I don't know if it did anything for you, but it didn't do a thing for me. So let's keep going. All right. Now, so enough on the pills. But especially the gospel, we want to cover on that one. So you've heard many times that the word gospel means good news. It seems kind of odd that the good news is the death and burial and then the resurrection of Christ. Why is that good news? It's because, like Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, Romans 1:16. Notice Romans 5:5 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We can never be good enough to merit Christ dying for us. That means salvation is available to everyone. This salvation is provided freely by the sacrifice of Christ. But remember, the blessings and the cursings were conditional. That means that Christ has done his part, but we still have to do ours. So what do we have to do? You know, today many are being told that all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Well, is that scriptural? Well, absolutely. In Acts 16:31, that's what it says. Notice what immediately follows that verse, however. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, and immediately he and his family were baptized. So they preached the word, the gospel, to the jailer and his family, and they obeyed. Now, including other scriptures, we get the whole picture. Having heard, they not only believed, they repented of their sins, they confessed, and then they were baptized. How do we remain in this saved condition? Again, many are told, that's it. Believe and you're done. The answer is provided in 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This means if we continually walk in the light, then the blood of Christ will continually cleanse us from all sin. To do this, we follow the advice given in Ephesians chapter 6. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand in the evil day, and having all done, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is with you, will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You notice that this passage contains active verbs. We are to do, and we are continued to do, what God has commanded us. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." If you need to answer his knock for any form or any reason, respond as we stand and sing.
Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Why not come to him now? Why not come to him now? What do you hope, dear brother, to gain by a further delay? There's no one to save you but Jesus. There's no other way but his way. Why not come to him now? Why not come to him now? Why do you wait, dear brother? The harvest is passing away. Your Savior is longing to bless you. There's danger and death in delay. Why not come to him now? Why not come to him now?
If there are those who have been able to, were unable to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, it is left prepared for you. If you'll exit out the back at this time, go down to the left towards the room number 104. You'll be served there. For those of us staying in here, we'll sing number 312. 312.
They tried my Lord and Master with no one to defend within the halls of Pilate. He stood without a friend. I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my years shall end. To all who need a Savior, my friend, I recommend, because he brought salvation, is why I am his friend. I'll be a friend to Jesus, my life for him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my ears shall end.